أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي قد آتيتني من الملك وعلمتني من تأويل الأحاديث فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت وليي في الدنيا والآخرة توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين ذلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيه إليك وما كنت لديهم إذ أجمعوا أمرهم وهم يمكرون وما أكثر الناس ولو حرصت بمؤمنين وما تسألهم عليه من أجر إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين. We are continuing the tafsir of Surah Yusuf and starting from ayah number 101. In the last lesson, we learned how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his mother, his stepmother and his father came to Egypt, and they were welcomed to Egypt, and then the prostration took place, which was the culmination of the interpretation of the dream of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that started at the beginning of the surah. Okay, so the 11 brothers and the stepmother and the father, they prostrated before him. And as we mentioned last week, this was not a prostration of ibadah. It was simply a prostration of respect. Or there are some scholars that say that it was, the prostration did not take place to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, towards him. Rather, it was a prostration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of gratitude for taking them out of the difficulties that they faced for so many years before that. The difficulty of the loss of Yusuf alayhi salam, and then the loss of Binyamin and his brother again, and the famine, and all of the other difficulties that they had to endure. Finally, as they came out of it, and they were relieved of those tensions and those burdens, they fell into prostration out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one interpretation of the scholars. So after this, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings, and this is where we start, where he says, رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. Oh my Lord, Rabb is the word tarbiyah. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Rabb. He is the one who sustains, and he gives, and he takes care. So he is the Rabb from many perspectives, and from many angles we can say that he is the one who is taking care of us. He is providing for us, he is giving us life, he is giving us air, he is protecting us from all kinds of evils that are around us. So the word Rabb, it is a very all-encompassing word. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam uses that word, and he says, Rabbi, oh my Lord, which is the usual translation we have for the word Rabb, but it is a much more broader meaning than just Lord. He says, Rabbi, قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. Indeed, you gave me this kingdom. You gave me from the kingdom, meaning that you are the one that gave me this position. You are the one that elevated me to this status. You are the one that gave me what I have. And this is actually the attitude that we should always have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in good situations and bad situations. Okay? Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, it is from Him, and whatever He takes away, it is His choice, and whatever He wants to take away from us, He takes away from us. And that's a very famous verse in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِنْ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Tell them, O Prophet of Allah, to make this dua. O Allah, you are Malikul Mulk. You are the King of Kingdoms. Meaning you are the owner of kingdoms. You give kingdoms to whom you like. You give al-mulk, tu'til mulka man tasha. You give the kingdom to whom you want. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ mimman tasha, and you take away the kingdom from whom you want. We are seeing that in so many different countries in the world recently, right? That a person, a dictator, who's been in power for so many years, suddenly, overnight, you can say, his kingdom is taken away from him. His dictatorship is taken away from him. His rule is taken away from him. And instead of sitting on the throne of power and ordering people around and, you know, using his loftiness and his arrogance, he becomes a person who is languishing in some cell or some prison, and he's at the mercy of his captors and the people that have imprisoned him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the kingdom to whom he wants and takes it away from whom he wants. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give respect to whom you want and you disgrace whom you want. So respect and disgrace is simply in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. All khair is in your hands, and oh Allah, you have the power over everything. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he is making this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is submitting and admitting that, oh Allah, whatever I have and the respect and honor and the status and the position that I have, it is simply from you and not from anybody else. And this is, unfortunately, many people, when they get to high positions, when wealth starts coming in or they start a business and that money starts coming in, they start to become arrogant and they start to take that power and the wealth and everything that they're getting, they take it upon themselves. And they say that it is because of my knowledge and because I'm smart and I have a good business mindset that I am making this much money and I have got the status that I've achieved. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes out of the equation and they take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the picture. And it's all me, me and me. It is because I did this, and it is because I have this knowledge, and it is because I have this smart business attitude that I have the ability to do what I've done. So this is again something that we need to keep in mind. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us respect or position or money or anything like that, we should always, always, always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him for the blessings that He gives us, and not take that, take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the picture. You know the story of Qarun, right? Where people told Qarun, إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Qarun was a very rich man, so rich that it's said that the keys of his treasures were carried by strong people. So you can imagine how much treasure he had and how much wealth he had, but this person became arrogant. So the people told him, لا تفرح, do not be arrogant. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love arrogant people. وَبْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, seek through that the abode of the hereafter. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But this doesn't mean that you live like a poor man yourself. If Allah has given you wealth, then use it in a good way. Buy a nice house, buy a nice car. Do not forget your own share from this world. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. But do good to others, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done good to you and He's done ihsan towards you. أَحْسِنْ, make ihsan towards other people. Bestow favors upon other people through your wealth. وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And do not spread corruption on the earth. And these are the things actually that happen to wealthy people. When that wealth gets to their head, then all of these qualities you will find that they start seeping in to the mindset of the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the story of Qarun, told us the things that the traps we should not fall into. And then what happened? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah says, we sucked him and his treasures and his house and everything into the earth. He was sucked into the earth, into a sinkhole or whatever may have been, whatever happened to him. But it was a lesson and continues to be a lesson for us until the Day of Judgment. So Yusuf alayhi salam said, قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ Oh Allah, you are the one who gave me this kingdom. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْحَدِيثِ And you taught me the interpretation of the dreams. Now the interpretation of the dreams, as I mentioned before, it is something that some people have the quality of doing, but not every dream for a normal person is something that a person should consider that it has a meaning. Okay, there is a 1 in 3 chance that it has a meaning. There are 3 types of dreams that you have. One dream is from the shaitan, one is from one's own psychology, one's own mind, that a person is thinking about something at night before sleeping and he has a dream about that same thing. And the third type of dream, it could be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in the dreams when a person gets a very clear and vivid message, for example, he gets a message that you have to slaughter your son when you wake up. This is simply from the shaitan. This is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should not think that just because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam got the message to slaughter his son in a dream, I should also think that this dream is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I should do what this dream is saying. No, this is not what a person should assume. Okay, only Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's dreams are true dreams. As for the lay person, then a person needs to use his wisdom and he needs to take knowledge from scholars about the interpretation of the dream, and he should not regard every dream as having any type of particular meaning. So, وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْحَدِيثِ And Allah, you told me the interpretation of the dreams. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The shaper of the heavens and the earth. O shaper of the heavens and the earth. He's still continuing to make the dua. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ You are my companion. Wali means companion. Very close companion, close friend. And this is again a word which indicates love, and it indicates the affection that a person has for his pious slaves, that they become his walis. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be aware that indeed the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, awliya is the plural of wali, they will not have any fear and they will not have any type of worry. So, to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our wali, and we become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a lifelong effort. We need to make an effort to get close to Him. Tazkiyatun nafs, keeping ourselves pure and clean, keeping our lives pure from sin, making istighfar as much as possible, making sure that we have certain adhkar and the recitation of the Qur'an regularly, making sure we complete all of these things on a daily basis. This will result in us, inshallah, becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that you are my wali in the world and in the hereafter. Meaning, even he as a prophet indicates that he needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and in the hereafter. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ Oh Allah, raise me in the state of Islam. Raise me in the state of Islam. This is a prophet asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise him as a Muslim, meaning to give him death as a Muslim. Tawaffa, it means, the literal translation is to raise, but it means to give death also. Wafat is from that word. So when a prophet is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this dua, then what about us, normal people, lay persons? How much should we be concerned about leaving this world in the state of Islam and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is something that we need to really be concerned about. The shaitan will come from many different angles and try to make a person slip up at the time of his death and to say words which are contrary to Islam and Iman. And if he dies in that state, then his Iman could be under question. Okay, so that's why when a person is about to die, which is known as muhtadar in Arabic, the person who's on his deathbed, we are supposed to make talqeen of La ilaha illallah as much as possible. But talqeen should not be with us telling him to say La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah, not like that. Rather, the best way is for us to sit next to him and start the tasbih of La ilaha illallah by ourselves, and upon hearing it, he will join in. And once he says La ilaha illallah, then he should try to avoid talking altogether. We should try to make him continue with that tasbih of La ilaha illallah, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi La ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. Whose last words are La ilaha illallah before he dies, he will enter paradise. But the main thing that we should focus on is the fact that even as a prophet, the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam is making dua, Tawaffani Musliman. And there are many du'as narrated from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam along the same lines. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Ya musarif al-qulub, sarif qalbi ila ta'atik. You know these words, O turner of the hearts, make my heart steadfast upon your deen. And O the turner of the hearts, make me steadfast upon your ta'ah, upon your obedience. Okay, again, many, many du'as like this narrated from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in another verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O people of Iman, have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves it, and do not die except in the state of Islam, meaning in the state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Yusuf alayhi salam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin, and make me join with the salihin, with the pious people. So this could be, in this world, to be always joined with the pious people, and also obviously in the hereafter, we should ask Allah to resurrect us amongst the pious people. So both of these things are very important. To join with pious people, have friendship with pious people, so that their piety, their habits, and the things that they are practicing, it rubs off on us. The very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described the good friendship and bad friendship in a hadith. He says that the bad friendship is like the person who works as a blacksmith. Okay, the person who is making metal and, you know, melting metal, and there's smoke and there's sparks flying everywhere. So a person who sits with this person, he goes in, takes a nice shower, he wears white clothes, and he goes and sits next to this person. What's going to happen? There's going to be sparks flying everywhere, there's going to be smoke, and he's going to come out stinking of smoke, and he's going to be sweating. So this is the example of a bad friendship. And he gave the example of a good friendship as Hamilul Misk, the person who sells musk, a perfume seller. You go and sit with a perfume seller, you don't even have to apply the perfume, but by sitting next to this person who is giving samples and spraying this perfume, or giving and selling the perfume to people, you come out still smelling, or smelling even better than when you went in. So this is the example of pious friendship with pious people. This is what we should try to adhere to in this life. And if you have bad friendship, and if we feel that friendship may influence us negatively, then we need to stay away from that type of friendship. Only and only if we feel that we can advise that person and take him towards the truth, take him towards haqq, take him away from what he's in at this time, then we should stay close to him. Otherwise, if we feel that we can be negatively affected by that person, then that friendship needs to be avoided. So, and obviously in the hereafter, we would make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Whoever has the ita'ah of Allah and His Prophet, Allah is going to resurrect him amongst who? Amongst the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and the shuhada, and the salihin, the pious people. He's going to be resurrected with these pious people. So the ita'ah of Allah and the ita'ah of the Prophet will result in this happening for us in the hereafter. So this is something that we should aspire to and adhere to as much as possible, so that we can be resurrected amongst these pious people. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here. And he's telling him that these are the news, meaning the stories of ghaib that we have inspired to you, that we have given to you in wahi. So these stories were found in the Old Testament and amongst the people of old, even prior to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know about these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in another verse of the Quran, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. Indeed, we know that people are going to say that a human being taught him. And this accusation is even found to this day. This accusation that the Quran was taught, or the stories in the Quran were taught to the Prophet ﷺ by Christians and so on. So this accusation is still there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already answered that accusation in this verse. He says, لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌ وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌ مُبِينٌ. The tongue in which the previous people had their stories in, that was a non-Arab tongue, in Hebrew or Greek or other languages, Aramaic. But this Quran is found in Arabic. It is in Arabic. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first and foremost, he didn't even know how to read or write. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذَا لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. You could not read anything, or you could not write anything, O Prophet of Allah. If it was the case that you could read or write, then the people who were mubtilun, meaning they were involved in fabrications and accusations, they would have fallen into doubt. But very, very clearly, the Prophet ﷺ was al-ummi. He was the unlettered one. He could not read or write. So all of these stories that have been mentioned in great detail in the Quran, these were inspired to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by nobody else. Okay, so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. And the same thing, a similar verse is mentioned after the story of Nuh alayhi salam. تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ. That is the wording used there. And another story that is mentioned, the similar wording is mentioned, is the story of Zakariya alayhi salam, when he wanted to take Maryam into his care, and they drew lots and threw pens into the water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمْ. This detailed story, you were not there when they threw their pens into the water with this intention of to find out who would take care of Maryam. So here again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these are the stories of the ghaib that we have inspired to you, O Prophet of Allah. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ. O Prophet of Allah, you were not next to them when they were united in their plan, meaning when they decided to do what they did with Yusuf alayhi salam, and they united and they had ijma' and consensus. وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ, while they were making makr, while they were making these evil plans. You were not there. But we told you this story in great detail. Why? Because this story is from us. The Quran is from us. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. The reality is that most people, even though you would want it, O Prophet of Allah, and you would wish that to happen, they're not going to have iman. This is the word that's used in the Quran again and again for the misguided people is أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ. Most people are always going to be misguided. So the question you might have is, you know, this religion is the truth, and the Prophet ﷺ gave it. There are so many miracles told to us, but there are still going to be people that are going to reject the clearness, the clear message, the miracles, everything are going to be rejected by the majority of the people. So, أكثر الناس is mentioned in the Quran. So even today, even though the Muslims are a great religion and they are a big portion of the population of the earth, they are still approximately 1.2 billion, which is approximately 1/6, you can say, or just more than 1/6, maybe 1/5 of the population of the world. You know, 4/5 are not Muslim. So again, أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ, the majority of the people are not going to be believers. So this was told to the Prophet ﷺ so that to console him, because he was very, very worried. And there are many places in the Quran that say that he, because of the worry and the concern for his ummah, he was almost kind of killing himself. He was dying inside because of the worry and concern he had for the people around him. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. And many, many verses in the Quran which indicate how the Prophet ﷺ was concerned. So Allah is addressing him again, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, that the majority of the people, even though, O Prophet of Allah, you want that to happen, you wish it to happen, they're not going to have iman. It's not going to happen. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And you're not asking them for any kind of recompense. Whenever the prophets came, they didn't ask people for worldly things. They didn't ask for mansions and palaces and, you know, money or anything of that nature. They came with a sincere message, and it was simply obey Allah, believe in Allah, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, follow my way that I'm teaching. I don't need anything from you. And this is exactly the same thing that every single prophet came with, the same message. I don't want anything from you. So again, Allah is telling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you're not asking them for any type of reward. You're not asking them for any type of recompense. All you're asking them to do is become believers. In huwa illa dhikrun lil'alamin. This is simply a reminder for the worlds, meaning this reminder has been sent. This Quran has been sent, and it's been sent at your hands. So the people who want to believe in it, they will believe in it, and the people that don't want to believe in it, they will reject it. So with this, we finish today's lesson. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.